Blog Talk Radio.
The ride of your life. I want to present to some and introduce to others your host for Anything But Ordinary Radio, Mr. Michael McCleary.
Welcome everybody to today's show, Anything But Ordinary Radio. I'm so excited to have all of you on this premiere episode, my first time solo flying on my own radio show. Really excited about the show today. We have some amazing people who are going to be on, sharing some amazing concepts, some great thoughts for all of you to, like we like to say here, take the hump out of your hump day. You can find us here every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern or 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific here on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/anythingbutordinary. Today's guests are Rick Mixter, Lindsay Wilson, and Miles W. Miller. Very excited to have the three of them on today. Just to give you a little feel for what we're going to do on the show is we have three segments. The first segment, I like to call it the Living It segment. It's for those people who are living their dreams and passions full time. Our second segment is called the Pursuing It segment. Sometimes it has people who are doing that, what they're talking about. They're living it just like the first segment. But they're also generally pursuing some new passion or something that they're trying to do, something they're trying to create and get out there full time. They're pursuing what it is they're dreaming and going for. And then our third segment is called the Sharing It segment. This segment will be for not only motivational speakers that we're going to have on to share a positive message, but also for people who are running nonprofits or other really notable causes that I think it's important for them to come on and share their story and also the story of what it is that they're doing. So we're going to have those three segments. We're going to try to keep it fun and interesting. You're welcome to join our chat room. If you go on Blog Talk Radio on our show page, you'll find a chat room. You can post questions that you might have for our guests as we go along. And really, that's about it. Oh, also, one other thing, too. You can give us a call at 347-857-3760. Can't guarantee that we get everyone on, especially this first premiere episode. But you can also call in that number anytime, every Wednesday at noon, and listen to the show. So you can call in and listen from wherever you are, even if you don't get a chance to be on the Internet. You can listen to us on your phone every week. Also, this show will be archived here at Blog Talk Radio every week, and also on our website, anythingbutordinary.net, as well as on iTunes. You'll be able to find the show on iTunes. I'm really excited about that as well. And then finally, who am I? Who is Michael McCleary? For those of you that don't know me, I'm an entrepreneur, a filmmaker. I do all kinds of different things. I guess a new author, working with one of my friends on a new book. But really, this journey started about 5 years ago when I left my corporate job and decided to start a video production company with my best friend, Casey Turner. And we got that going and decided I wanted to create a TV show called Anything But Ordinary. I was going to interview people all over the U.S. and Canada, and eventually my goal is the world, people who are ordinary people, just like you and I who are listening in, but they have extraordinary lives. They have extraordinary secrets and ideas to share with all of you and all of us. And so that started my journey. I interviewed 20 different people, and we created a documentary film that just came out. I'm very excited about that. In fact, for those of you who are waiting for your DVDs of the new film, those of you who pre-ordered, it's really exciting because those will be available within the next week. They are being shipped to us as we speak. And so with that, that's who I am. And let's get on to our first guest. Our first guest is Rick Mixter. He's the owner of Airwaves Productions and has been active in the TV and video production industry for the past 20 years. He's a native of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and Rick moved to the Flint, Saginaw, Bay City area to pursue his TV career. After a number of years as a TV news cameraman, reporter, host, and executive producer, Rick left the news industry to work in the promotional video field. And over the past 10 years, Rick has worked with a variety of companies on promotional video and commercial work, as well as TV shows, including his own PBS series, which is amazing, Great Lakes in Depth. Just love watching that show. And Rick has also produced a variety of documentaries, including Deep Six, Final Run, Storms of the Century, the Edmund Fitzgerald Investigations, and Safe Ashore, the 1940 Armistice Day Storm. And after all of that, which is amazing in and of itself, he has also recently just completed his first book, The Wheelsman. Rick, welcome to the show.
Mike, I'm so incredibly proud of you. This is a great avenue for you to express the incredible talents, I think, first of all, that you have, and secondly, to really bring a positive influence to people all over the country and all over the world.
Well, Rick, thank you for that. I'm so excited to let the listeners know Rick on the show as my first guest, because he was my first interview ever for the TV show, and I wanted to kind of follow a little similar theme there. But also, you know, Rick has been a great mentor to me, and we met, oh man, probably 5 or 6 years ago, out of all places, a lighthouse here in the Thumb of Michigan for a festival that you were at, Rick, selling some of his videos. And here I am, a new video company, a producer at a video company, and I come up to Rick and want some advice, and here's kind of, in a way, my competitor, you know. And Rick, the first thing he wanted to do was offer his help. How can I help you? So, you know, Rick, I really appreciate, you know, just that love of life and wanting to help other people that you always do. So tell me a little bit about what you're doing right now. I mean, I gave this little intro about who you are, so I won't go into the whole biography, but what is it that you're up to right now? Maybe share a little bit about your book. I'm really excited about that.
I was going to say what I'm up to right now is shoveling, and a lot of it. We got dumped out here with what they call Snowmageddon, which is silly for a guy from the UP. But it does give me some more time, though, because the clients have not been chatting with me today. I think they all stayed home. So it's given me a lot of time to do some publicity work on my release for my book, which is going to happen on the 4th of March at the Midland Center for the Arts. So it's great to be able to get some time in, start putting my videos together that I want to showcase when I do the lectures and stuff, and that's what I've been doing in between my shovels.
In between your shovels and everything else that you do, right?
I love it, and it's been great. I mean, literally with the economy the way it's been, you know, you could sit around and say, wow, where'd everybody go, and why don't we have much to work on? Or you can get down to business and do your own thing and make it happen. There's always stuff to do, and feeling sorry for yourself for a slowdown in the economy is not in my vernacular, if you will. So I spend time developing the next project, whether that be a museum project. We're working on one for Bay County on the ships that were built in Bay City and where they ended up and shipwrecks like that, or, you know, literally the water exhibit at Midland I've been working on, and then the book stuff, which just never seems to cease. I mean, to chase down all of the libraries and all the places and offer up, you know, not only the book but also some of the lectures, is it's a full-time job in itself. So that's what I do in my downtime.
Well, you know, Rick, a lot of people are looking to, you know, they're trying to find out, especially in this economy, what should I do, you know, with my life if they lost a job, or they're just trying to look around and go, what is it that's the next place for me to go in my life? You know, here on the show, we really encourage people to find what it is that they're passionate about and start pursuing it. You know, you may not necessarily be able to do it full-time right off the bat, but, you know, you can start working on it and start pursuing it part-time, find out what it is that you love to do. But, you know, in our interview, there's a lot of people go, well, I don't know exactly what it is that I want to do. What do I want to do with my life? And one of the great things about our interview is you kind of talked about that, is that you didn't necessarily know when you started out what your passion was going to be for your life. You kind of like did, I don't like this, or this isn't going to work, and you just kind of keep moving on until you found what it is that you're passionate about. Maybe share a little bit about that.
You bet. I mean, I began as a guy who wanted to be a ventriloquist for a career, and obviously that wasn't going to work out too well, but when you're 8 years old, that's what you think. And so I moved into magician, and that didn't work out. So I kept going and found out entertainment is what I wanted to do, and went into radio and loved it. Worked at several radio stations and made $3 an hour, and figured out, you know, I'm not going to be in Detroit. I'm not going to make it to New York or L.A., so I better find something else. So true, I literally figured out what I didn't want to do, and there was a bunch of careers that I got into in television news that, gave me incredible experience, but I just could not handle the fires and the car crashes and the murders and the drugs and all the stuff that, you know, you have to cover when you're a news reporter. So literally, I went in and found out I liked storytelling, and I liked being able to spend more than a minute, like in the newscast. I wanted to spend 60 minutes and figured out I'll be a documentary producer. And, of course, there's not a full-time job for that. You have to kind of work around and with industrial videos and stuff. There are, you know, select few that are good enough to become full-time documentary producers. But for me, it's a part-time thing, and I get to do my maritime stuff, go diving in the springtime, in the summer, in the fall, and then spend the winter, you know, researching, going to libraries. I've got a big project on Lake Erie going on right now, so a lot of the time is spent online, going through newspapers in Cleveland and stuff like that to get it together. So, yeah, honestly, for most people, I think it's a good study to, you know, find out what you enjoy, try it, and in my instance, try it part-time. Don't quit your day job and keep working until, you know, it can take over. And at some point, like you put the clip on the web, you've got to jump out of the airplane. You've got to literally say, it's time to make my plunge. And I think that that's the hardest part for everybody. You know, when I quit a TV station that I was doing very well at, I was making a good salary and had wonderful friends at, you got to stand in the door, grab your ripcord and jump and say, I'm going to try this. And that's a very tough thing for people to do. And that's why not a lot of people do it. But ever since then, it's been a roller coaster. It's been a really good year, then a really bad year, then a really good year. And unfortunately, that ride is another thing that a lot of people probably couldn't stomach. But I think entrepreneurs love it. You know, we only have ourselves to blame, you know. If it's not going right, you can't look at the boss.
Well, you know, a little bit about that, you know, that up and down. Would you, even with the up and down, would you still do what you're doing now, or would you go back to the TV station?
I think that my brain tells me it would be better to be in television because there's always going to be something to do. But my heart tells me, no, I'd do this. I mean, I still love it. I still know that I'm the only guy to blame if I don't have business. I can go and chase, you know, new clients. And that's what we've done is you know, a whole marketing campaign, which is brand new for me. I'm not a marketer. And so there's a lot of that in there, and I find that as a challenge just as much as videotaping or, you know, writing or producing. The marketing of your own business is just as exciting. Some things work, some don't, and that becomes part of the game, and it's fun to see what works, what doesn't, and keep going that way. So I like that part of it too. I don't, you know, in a pinch, I'd go back to broadcasting if it really dried up, but you know, as people know, Michigan right now is bad. I mean, in my immediate family, 4 people, including my wife, were laid off. So it's bad in Michigan, but there's things there that we can do. And it just means changing the focus of what our business does and not relying so much on the automotive industry.
Well, you know, the nice thing is if you can survive in Michigan's economy right now, you know, when things get better, they will at some time, you know, you'll be on a nice upward path.
No doubt. I mean, if you can make it through this, you can make it anywhere. So for me, yeah, it's about weathering this, and it's about, you know, keeping the business we do have, and then honestly growing your own products. That's the one thing that can't slow down is you enterprising new videos. I've got 10 documentaries. I've got the book. So there's always that potential to go out and sell that, and that's what I call the square wheel. It only rolls when I push it. So I literally have to be out pushing it all the time. So I can't sit indoors and wait for a client to call. If it's nothing's happening tomorrow, I'm going to hop in the car and start marketing my stuff. And now's the time to do that for the springtime and stuff when we can get into the gift shops, the museums and stuff. And it's always busy. So I never sit around unless I have to shovel. Then it's time to go do that too.
Well, you know, tell me about how did you get into, you know, really a lot of your documentaries are focused on maritime history or diving. You know, you had a show dealing with diving. You've also, of course, done some footage on B-52s and other things. I mean, you've flown around the world on B-52. You've flown on F-16. You've done all kinds of crazy things, bungee jumped. But it seems to be your real passion is diving in maritime history. I'm just wondering what really drew you into that realm, if that was what you wanted to do.
I think all the kids in Gwynn would definitely tell you up in the UP that I've always liked history. I mean, I was the kid that signed all my papers in Phoenician. I just always loved the ancient history and learning about the early times. And the history part of it, maritime history fell in because that was the one place that you can go to in the Great Lakes right now that the history is still there. The shipwrecks that sink, there's over 4,000 on the bottom of the Great Lakes. They're all preserved exactly the way that they sank. And because only a handful of people can scuba dive them, very rarely are these, especially the newer shipwrecks that they're finding every day practically, those are all exactly the way that they sank. So we can't say that about terrestrial sites. You know, the typical old buildings and stuff that we have been changed over, and you know, they've totally remodeled them. But underwater, those shipwrecks look exactly like they do when they sank. And in some instances, you know, the first commercial shipwreck on the Great Lakes sank in 1679. So you're talking about shipwrecks that are hundreds of years old. So literally, that's why I liked it. And then covering the biggest tanker explosion ever in Michigan, or in the Great Lakes, when the Jupiter exploded, I was a reporter and a photographer on that shoot. So I kind of caught the bug there when you see, you know, all that history that's happening right there. And then I dove the Fitzgerald in a submarine in 94 and started to look up storms and the big storms. And I've always been amazed by meteorology. I'm a pilot, so obviously you have to know your weather. And the big storms have always been very interesting. So I started digging up all of these people who survived the 1913, 1940 storm and stuff like that. So literally that's where it kind of grew. It's a snowball. It got bigger and bigger. And there's always stuff to dig up. There's so many stories to look into.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, what, over, did you say over 5,000 wrecks on the Great Lakes?
Yeah, I mean, most of them have been recovered. You know, they consider anything that, you know, crashes aground also a shipwreck, but most of those they'd recover. But it's a fair estimate to say there's 3,000 on the bottom, and right now we probably know where 500 are. So there's, you know, thousands of shipwrecks that are time capsules that are exactly the way they sank. The one I dove two summers ago sank on the day that Abraham Lincoln won the election, and the corn is still inside it. You can see it in there. So that's what the Great Lakes do.
Well, you know, and maybe share a little bit just briefly on the Great Lakes, because I think a lot of our listeners are not necessarily from the Midwest and don't realize the size of the Great Lakes. I mean, I know when I tell
friends
of mine who are not from the area, you know, how big they are. People don't really realize the size and scope of the Great Lakes.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, to think about Lake Superior, it's 1,300 feet deep, and it, you know, to drive around it takes you 2 or 3 days. We did it in one dive trip, and it took us, you know, Labor Day weekend to dive it and to go around it. It's absolutely huge. You can see them from outer space. You know, they're huge. And inside there, you know, they've been moving thousands and thousands and, well, millions, literally, tons of iron ore and grain and coal. And all those ships that, especially in the early days, from schooners to when they went into steam and the steamers, there were collisions and storms and fires, and all of those claimed those ships, and they sank. And to look at a list, I mean, there's just thousands of these ships that are down there. And a lot of people spend their summers dragging sonar up and down, literally what we call mowing the grass. You take a path and you use your GPS to make straight lines and try to find these shipwrecks that have been lost. And there's a couple of really famous ones, including the one I talked about in 1679, LaSalle's Griffin, that everybody wants to find. You know, there's not treasure in these ships, although some people argue that some of them might have gold. There really isn't. The treasure is the fact that these incredible historical things exist and that you can go down there and the name's still hanging on them. And unfortunately, zebra mussels are coating a lot of them, but those little zebra mussels, the little clams, are also cleaning up our Great Lakes, so there's more for us to see as divers. Even in the last 10 years, I've noticed the water getting extremely clear. The sad part is that some of the fish species don't necessarily like that clear water, walleye and perch, and we're losing some of those numbers too, so it's always changing.
You know, Rick, we're getting kind of closer to the end of our interview. Tell me a little bit about, for those people who are out there right now who are looking to do something different. I mean, you've had an amazing story, really a life, I consider it a life of adventure. I mean, it really is. I mean, you've done all these, like, crazy, amazing things. You would probably consider them semi-normal, but I think most people go, wow, you know, here's a guy who dives the Great Lakes, flies in jets all over the world. What is it that you have to suggest to people who are looking to to get through the day-to-day, get through the week. They're trying to discover what it is that they're supposed to do with their life. What advice do you have for them?
I say go for it. I mean, there's going to be a lot of times it doesn't have to be bungee jumping or skydiving or, you know, hopping into a jet fighter and pulling 9 G's. Everything makes you nervous. If you want to take a higher level job and your stomach kind of quivers and you're kind of like, oh man, I don't know if I should do this, challenge yourself, push yourself to say, you know what, I'm going to be uncomfortable and this is not within the box that I'm used to, but you know, I'm going to step out of the box and I'm going to make myself a little uncomfortable. You know, get the training that you need. Every time I go flying or skydiving, I get training with incredible instructors that teach me how to go a little bit further, to push that edge. So it's calculated, but it's still a risk. And if you don't take those risks, you're not going to get anything gained. I look around and I have no special talents that allow me to do all the wonderful things that I've had a chance to do, except for the enthusiasm of a big smile and saying, hey, you know, I'll go, I'll do this. And I'd say that if you just attack any problem like that, you know, anytime somebody asks you, do you want to try this, you know, take it within reason, say, you know what, I think I will. And that's what I would say to anybody, just push it a little bit, little bites at a time, and you'll find out that pretty soon you can live that life. And not every day is going to be diving the Edmund Fitzgerald or, you know, flying around in an airplane. But as long as you attack the day and say, you know, I'm going to do my best. And if you can find a job, especially like we have in video production, where I can tell stories, and you wake up every morning and you say, you know what, this is the job that I want. This is the perfect place to be. That's all you can really ask for in life, and that's what I have. I wake up in the morning, I want to make a video, and I love it.
You know, Rick, you know, definitely thank you for sharing that with everybody. And for those who want to discover more about you and where they can find your videos and your book, where can people find out more about Rick Mixter?
You could type in just Rick Mixter in Google, and it'll hit lots of stuff, and you can filter out whatever you want. Or you can go to Lake Fury, LakeFury, LakeFury.com, or you can go to airworthy.tv is my television site. You can go to Amazon and look up The Wheelsman is the name of the book, or go to your favorite library or museum around the Great Lakes, and my thing should be in there. So, you know, if not, ask them, and I'm sure we'll get it squared.
Ask them to put them in there.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, and stomp your feet in disgust.
Well, Rick, I really want to thank you for being my first ever interview on my own radio show. I mean, thank you for being a friend, for being there for all these years, and for always giving me great advice, for giving our listeners some great advice. And I really want to thank you for joining us today.
Well, it's a special honor to be the very first guest and to be your very first TV interview for your series, too. And it means a lot to me that you believe that. And I just say thanks to you.
Well, thank you again, Rick. And I look forward to having you on again sometime soon.
Anytime, my friend.
Thank you, Rick. And next, we're going to have Lindsay Wilson. She'll be coming up shortly. But quickly, I'd like to take a little short commercial break to share with you some different items. First, and is if you haven't got our DVD yet, or if you haven't ordered our DVD, our film, Casey Turner and My Film, An Anything But Ordinary Journey, where we interview 20 amazing people, really ordinary people who live extraordinary lives, and really Rick is one of just a great example of one of those 20 that we have in the movie. You can go to our website, anythingbutordinary.net, purchase a DVD for $19.95, and if you purchase it now before we get them in stock, and remember they're shipping this week, you save on the $5.95 shipping charge. So order them in the next 2 days, and we will get them out to you next week. We'll be shipping them out. I'm really excited to finally see this DVD come to life. Over 4 years of work, and now it's a real live DVD, a real live video. It's really exciting. And then also, I've told you over and over, where in the world did we get such great music for our film? And in fact, a lot of people, I shouldn't say I've told you over and over, a lot of people have asked me, where did you get this great music? And one of the best people on our soundtrack, well, really, they're all great guests, but one of the best musicians on our soundtrack is A.G. Silver. And in fact, you heard one of their songs in the opening to our show. To find find out a little bit more about them, I really encourage you to find out about this great band. You can go to www.agsilver.com, and you can also find them on Facebook, MySpace, and you can buy their albums on iTunes. And they'll also be performing Saturday, February 20th at 7 p.m. in Holland, Michigan, at the Knickerbocker Theater in the Holland Hearts Haiti Show, which is a collaboration of many West Michigan artists to raise money for what's gone on in Haiti. So please check out A.G. Silver. Great band. I mean, really, honestly, one of my favorite bands of all time. An independent band, not on a label, and they could really use your support. Check them out, agsilver.com. And also, you can find our show every Wednesday here at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on BTR by going online at www.blogtalkradio.com/anythingbutordinary. And archives of past shows will be on there at that address. It will also be available on our website. And you can subscribe to the podcast version on iTunes. So if you miss us one week but you still want to hear the show, you can still check us out in our archives. And if you want to find out more about the show or myself, just go to www.anythingbutordinary.net or friend me at Facebook. You can look me up, Michael McCleary, on Facebook, and I'd be happy to add you as one of my many friends. So thank you for tuning in. And now our next guest who's going to be joining us is Lindsay Wilson. Lindsay Wilson is a professional dancer and author. She currently performs to over thousands of people daily in the Beauty and the Beast show in Orlando, Florida. She has performed all over the world in such places as the Columbia City Ballet Company in South Carolina, aboard the QE2 as Frenchie in Greece, for Norwegian Cruise Lines, Disney Tokyo, as Victoria in Cats at the Theater Winterhaven, and she also performed in Dubai for SeaWorld. She has written a book and screenplay with the title You Made This Drink, You Drink It, and it's based on her ability to put the funny in dysfunction. A great book, and I'm so excited to have another person from our film, Lindsay Wilson. Lindsay, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Lindsay. How are you doing?
I'm so good. What a fantastic introduction. You said everything right. I love it.
Well, thank you. I try. are you in between shows right now?
I am. I'm standing backstage in sweatpants and Uggs because it's kind of chilly in Florida today. It's 50. I know you're, what, in Michigan, and you're probably snowed in, right?
Yes, we're digging out of snow.
I know, but you do not have to dance outside in heels and tights in 50 degrees, and that's not fun.
I can't imagine.
Well, I know.
Tell me a little bit about, this is our segment we call Living It, but pursuing it, and you have a great story. Now, you're living kind of a passion by being a dancer, but also you've written a book, and you've written a screenplay, trying to turn it into a movie. You're an aspiring author. Tell me a little bit about your experience, what took you into dancing, and then what prompted you to decide, I really want to write this book.
Well, I think what I always say is that I had way too much energy as a kid. I've been dancing now for 29 years, and I think for my mom to keep the furniture from being broken, she put me into ballet classes to wear me out. And that's how it all started, and I really loved the competition. And the thing about ballet is that it will never be perfect. It looks perfect when you see the classical ballets on stage, but it's something that you're always striving for, that perfection. And it's what's driven me forever. And through my dancing experiences and just, the trying and the pushing and the auditioning and the rejection and finally getting something and then not getting something, I've had so many experiences, and I'm so lucky that I got to travel on the cruise ships, dancing, and see the entire world, and live in Japan for 7 months dancing for Disney Tokyo. But also, aside from being a dancer, I have a great story to tell. And when it comes to writing the book, it's not that I needed to write a book or even really wanted to. It's that I had to. I had this burning story to tell that I had to get out onto the computer screen. And I had no idea that it would be as accepted and as successful as it is, and that so many people can relate to it. And then I was approached by my Hollywood manager, who read the book and said, you know, I really think that this is a story for the screen. And I thought that she was completely insane, and I practically ran away screaming from her. But I researched how to write a screenplay, and there's this website called dailyscript.com, and you can read all scripts that have ever been written. And I think I read probably like 55 of them. I read everything from Aaron Brockovich to Kramer versus Kramer, and I figured out how to write it. And the worst part is that, you know, when you're telling your own story and trying to adapt it into a screenplay, you don't know what to keep and what to cut because it all happened. It's your story. And
sure.
So trying to condense the story to fit onto the screen was very difficult. But, you know, I love a challenge, and I'm up for anything, and I'm a complete workaholic. You know, in my downtime, I have to write a book. So, yeah, I just think, you know, push it and do what you feel you need to do, and then look at what's happened to me. It's just allowed me to meet you and be in your fantastic documentary and, you know, hopefully show everyone, just like your guest before was saying, that to take the risks and to do it, and don't let anybody tell you that you can't, because you can. Who would have ever thought that I could write a screenplay, much less a book? You know, I'm just the dancer.
Well,
and you can do it.
Yeah. You're so much more than that, Lindsay. And you know what's exciting is, and you took the time to actually write this book. Tell us a little bit about that experience, because you had to, you know, it's something you had to do. You had to set down. You had to have discipline to do that. You know, a lot of people have an idea. They may start on it. They may work at it a little bit, and then they drop it because it gets hard, or they get bored, or whatever. You know, tell us a little bit about this. You know, you're dancing full time, and then you're also trying to write this book.
Right. Well, here's the best advice I can give about writing a book. It's that same old line, Rome wasn't built in a day. And a whole book, you know, I have a 274-page book. I did not write that in one day or one month. What I decided to do was, the way that I went about it was, I would dance all day at work, and I have about a half an hour drive home. So I would think about the story that I was going to tell that day. I would think about that chapter. I would have the whole, all the words on the tip of my tongue. I would come home, eat dinner, and then I would go out on my porch and sit there and write one chapter, and that took me 3 hours. It's pretty much how long it took me to tell that story. And so if you can write a chapter a day or a chapter every few days, at the end of a few months, you're going to have no choice but to have an entire book. Then you've got to reread it and edit it and take out the crap and leave the good stuff. But really, you just have to do it in segments, and you have to be okay with yourself to know that you can go through 5 months of a writing block, just like I did. But something is going to happen during that time, because I think that life marinates writing, and you're going to have an experience even when you feel like there's nothing left to write, and that's what's going to bring you back to your page, and that's what's going to eventually take you to the end of the story, and then you have your product, which is your book, your story.
You know, and I think that's just a really great lesson for any of us, no matter what we're doing, whether it's creating a movie or a product or a TV show or a speaking career, anything it is that you're trying to create or
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
It takes time.
And, you know, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks you're doing. Like, let's say I'm a waitress, and people think that maybe that's not an important job, even though it is, because if it wasn't for the waitress, you wouldn't have that fantastic memory of a meal that you had with your friend or your family. But that waitress is making ends meet so that maybe she can do what she's really trying to do, which is save up for school, or, you know, go to school or do something like that. Everybody has a plan, and you can't be, I mean, I'm very hard on myself, don't get me wrong, but you've just got to let yourself know that you know exactly what you're doing. And I like to use this quote that it's funny, I'd like to quote myself. what I'd like to say is, quoting myself, you don't have to do what's right, you have to do what's right for you.
That's a great
and
quote.
And I think that's it. Well, thanks. I think that it's just important because I'm not saying do bad things and kill people and steal things. I'm just saying if what you're doing is right for you, then that's the most important thing. Not what your parents told you or the advice from people, but what you think is right.
You know, in fact, this goes back to kind of the story of your book. And, in fact, our chat room is a buzz. The question is your book fiction or nonfiction? And it's a little bit of both, if I'm not quite wrong, right?
Yes. It is printed as fiction to protect the guilty. but it is my story, and I've changed the names. But, yeah, it's my story, and I printed it as fiction, but everybody who knows me knows that it's my story, and I'm proud of it.
And it's kind of a crazy story. You want to share just a little bit about that story? So that people, of course, want to go pick it up.
The story is about a professional dancer, imagine that, who is planning her wedding. And it's about the crazy shenanigans that she goes through with a difficult family. And I think that everyone has gone through something like that, whether it's planning a reunion or a wedding or a graduation. But this girl has a lot to say. She's very opinionated. And, she shares her life experiences. And I think that it's very unpredictable. And it's funny. Just when you want to close the book and cry, the main character, Lexi, is going to make you laugh. And she talks in a very no-holds-barred way. She can dish it if you can take it. And it's a very conversational tone of the book. All of my friends who read it say they feel like they just had a very long conversation with me, because I guess my writing style is I write the way that I talk. And, it is the funny and dysfunction. And I think that all families share that. And it's how you deal with it and how you get through it. And, it makes you realize that the most important thing is your family.
You know, I agree with you, Lindsay, and I think one of the great things about the book, and you just kind of talked about there, I mean, you put the funny in dysfunction, you created this book out of a situation in your family life. You know, you didn't play the victim. You could have been a victim and said, you know what, this bad stuff happened to me, you know, I'm going to make it out to be terrible. But instead, you turned, as one of my other friends has said, turning tragedy into triumph. I mean, really, that's what you did, is you took it and you used it as something to be a strength and something to pursue out of that that issue you had. So I think it's great that you did that.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. And I like to say that the difference between victims and survivors is the humor. You know, it's what you make of it. My glass is always half full. And if we can't, I've said in your documentary that if we can't laugh really hard at the end of the day, then we're just going to be miserable messes, and who wants to live like that? It's so much more fun to laugh and to see what you've come from and where you're going to the person that you are, because that's what counts.
Oh, exactly. And really quickly, I want to talk about, you know, probably one of the most famous segments out of our film is of you, of all things. It's kind of funny. You're like the number one people that people talk about. Yes, you. Not only in the movie, but in the trailer. In fact, one of my good friends shared with me, he shared the trailer with someone. And you talk about, you basically, what you said is that success is not about the money. And
oh, God, no.
Yeah, you did. But I'm saying you did, and we showed this to someone. In fact, a friend of mine showed it to someone, just the trailer, and they broke out in tears to hear someone say that message. People needed to hear that. Success is so not about the money. And I've had so many people talk to me and say that's one of the major quotes they remember from the film. You know, maybe share a little bit about that idea that success isn't always about the money.
No. I was saying, oh, God, no, when I was just agreeing with you that, yeah, I still believe that. I wasn't saying, I never said that. What are you talking about? No, I did say that, and I still believe it. And it's very true. The success is what you make it. And the success is how you drive yourself to make an impact in the world. Because let's face it, writers do not make money. The reason why J.K. Rowling is a billionaire is because she has sold a billion books. and everything else that goes with her books. But really, there's no money in writing. I didn't do it for the money. There's absolutely no money in performing. You know, we're just, I love entertaining people, and I am successful every day for, you know, even on Christmas morning when I'm entertaining the people that got Disney stockings under their Christmas tree and they're all going to Disney World. It's a holiday. You think about being with your family, but it's a success for me to entertain those people. And I know that I'm putting smiles on their face, and I'm not getting, you know, paid anything extra for that. But the impact of my book and the success for that was starting just with myself, just completing something that I said I wanted to do. And it's so not about money, because at the end of the day, money can't buy your happiness, like everybody knows and says. And it's just about being true to yourself, most of all. And if you have a goal, accomplishing that, and for me, seeing my name on the cover of a book with a copyright, you know, if I wasn't such a workaholic, I could just stop and put everything to bed there. But of course, I have to keep challenging myself and climbing more mountains. You know, if I wrote a book, then I can write a script, then I can write another book, then I can keep doing this. But absolutely, success is not about the money. And, you know, it's a nice bonus. But,
oh, of course.
Right. But no, that's all I have to say about that. It speaks for itself. Success is not about the money.
You know, when people are looking to make a change in their life, you know, those are great words to live by. But is there any one last thing that you'd like to share with people just for them to think about today? You know, if they're having a rough day, or they're trying to figure out what it is they're trying to get through, where they're supposed to go, do you have any quick parting thoughts?
Absolutely not. Just kidding.
I was going to say, I know you have to have an answer.
I know. Me not have something to say? no, I just want to talk about how important it is to be true to yourself. I think that maybe a lot of women are stuck in dead-end marriages. And as women, we try so hard to make it work and to fight for the good of the family. But I think that what children will realize about their mothers, if there's children involved in the marriage, that when they see that the mother is being true to themselves, that they will respect that. I think so many women stay in marriages for their children. And what we have to remember is to be true to ourselves, because before there was a husband, before there was children that the husband made with us, mm-hmm. there was just us. It was just us, and we have to do what's right for ourselves. And I think that's the most important thing. And if you're stuck in traffic, or if something bad happened at work, or if somebody in your family is ill, or you're having a fight with your friend, really think about what I said about don't do what's right, do what's right for you. If you're not happy, the only person that can change that is you.
Well, Lindsay, where can people find out more about you and also your book? Can you share a little bit about that?
My book is available in all bookstores. I love Barnes & Noble, and you can go to Amazon.com and order it. The name of the book is You Made This Drink, You Drink It. My pen name on the book is Lindsay Moss. Lindsay spelled A-Y-M-O-S-S. I have a website called YouMadeThisDrink.com. And if you just want to put in my name, Lindsay Wilson Moss, into Google, there's a lot of radio interviews that will come up, and news clips, and everything. And I would love for you to read my book. I think it's a fun read, and it's just a slice of life. Hopefully you'll be entertained and, you know, get a different perspective of how the other people live.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Lindsay. I so appreciate you being on the show, for your help with me with the documentary, for just being my friend. You know, I really appreciate the time we've had to spend together, and thank you so much for being on the show.
You've got it. Such an honor. Love you to pieces, Michael McCleary. Thank you for having me, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. That was Lindsay Wilson. You can find out more about her book, You Made This Drink, You Drink It, by visiting her website or looking it up on Amazon.com. Right now, we're going to go to a really quick commercial break, and once we get back, we'll bring you Miles Miller And he'll be sharing some thoughts with all of you to conclude our radio show today. So stand by, and we'll be right back.
Are you there?
Welcome back to Anything But Ordinary Radio. I'm your guest. I shouldn't say your guest. I'm your host, Michael McCleary. And sorry about that. Our advertisement didn't play quite right. It was for Chris Gloss. I'd really like all of you to check out Chris Gloss. Go to his website, www.chrisgloss.com. He's known as the Possibilitarian, an amazing speaker, an amazing friend. Take some time, stop by his website. There's so much you can learn about him, get some of his books, and we'll make sure to play it correctly the next time we're on the show. So thank you again for Lindsay and Rick for joining us. And now I would like to bring on the air Miles W. Miller. Miles is the president and CEO of Lionheart Enterprises. He's known to his friends and family as a hardworking, loving, kind, compassionate, creative, and inspirational man. He's a dynamic teacher and personal coach, a compelling and prolific writer, a charismatic and transformational motivational speaker, and just an all-around good guy. Miles believes that he can assist the world in creating a championship standard of living for itself. He also believes that he can help in taking everyone from the slums of mediocrity and failure to the skyscrapers of greatness and success. He boldly proclaims to the world, "Don't ever give up. Don't ever quit on your dreams." Miles, thank you for being with us today.
Michael, it's an absolute honor to be here with you today.
I really appreciate you coming on. And Miles, I mean, there was a little intro there, but maybe share a little bit about your story. I mean, because I think your story alone is quite fascinating.
Well, ironically, so I added a new chapter to the story today. I'm actually calling you from the side of the road. I had came to assist someone with a flat tire.
Wow.
And the car actually fell off the jack. So I've been outside in Stone Mountain, Georgia all morning, and it's freezing cold down here. But it goes to show about just being able to overcome adversity. That's one of the things I really teach people is, you know, don't let your head go with the problem. You know, if something rises, just stay on your ground, and calm heads will prevail. And having a faith and trust in God, for me, you know, it gets me through situations like this. So, you know, a big problem got avoided. Nobody was hurt. But just having that wherewithal to know that no matter what happens, no matter what the situation looks like in life, we can overcome adversity. Look at the Saints, for instance. That I love stories like that. I love, you know, when the underdog can actually beat the perennial champion. Even though I was pulling for the Colts, in my heart, I wanted the Saints to win. Even, you know, situations like that, I don't know how else to say it. I really love watching people achieve their goals and achieve their dreams. It actually, man, it fires me up. Like right now, I'm talking to you now, I'm just thinking about all the people that's going to hear this show that are being inspired by, you know, your leap of faith, for you stepping out and doing, you know, living your dreams. You present to the world hope and opportunity that, you know, no one else may have done.
Thank you, Miles. I appreciate it. And I really thank you for doing, you know, the same thing. You've got, in fact, you have a blog talk radio show every week. Maybe share with the listeners where they can find out a little bit more about that and about what you do on your show, because it's a great show.
Yes, sir. My show is called Creating a Championship Standard of Living, and it comes on every Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time live, and we do some dynamic things together. I believe in creating a championship standard of living. I believe in helping people, you know, come out of the slums of mediocrity and go to the skyscrapers of greatness. I believe that everybody who tunes into the show, the goal for me to them is to provide them with blueprints for hope, blueprints for, yes, it's possible that you can live your dreams. Les Brown says it's possible. you know, and we, you just mentioned Chris Law, the Possibilitarian. I had him on a couple weeks ago, and he said the same thing. He was just, you know, we bring people, I bring on dynamic guests, I come up with dynamic teaching lessons just to, you know, light people on fire for their goals, light people on fire for their destiny, light people on fire to live that life that they've been promised, not the nightmare, because the nightmare is over. We're living the life of our dreams now.
You know, what brought you to this point in life? I mean, you're a younger guy. You're from Detroit. You went to Cass Tech. Now you're in Atlanta. What brought you to saying, you know what, we can be more, do more than we ever thought we could possibly be?
The absolutely best answer I can give you is this. I have lived the nightmare. I have experienced losing my dreams. I have experienced not fulfilling goals. I have experienced what it feels like to come up short when you know inside of you you're a champion, when you know inside of you that you're designed for greatness. We're all creating the likeness and image of God. So if that's so true, which it is true, you know, second-rate living is just unacceptable on any level, whether it be in relationships, whether it be in friendships, marriages, you know, academics, athletics, physical fitness, whatever the case, second-rate living is just unacceptable. And it irritates me. So I know if it irritates me, and it's irritating me to a point to do something about it, somebody else needs to hear that. Somebody else needs to hear that it's possible to move towards the things that you want to do. It's possible to live a life of your dreams. It's possible.
You know, Miles, in fact, I brought you on. It's really this segment of the show is called Sharing It. It's for motivational speakers, inspirational speakers like yourself to share a thought, to share something with our audience every week, or also for people who are having a nonprofit or some other organization that benefits people in general. Because, you know, really about the show, it's not just about the individuals I bring on and making yourself better, but it's what we can give back to the world. And you wanted to talk today about expectation in the due season of your dreams.
Yes, sir. I believe that somebody somewhere is listening to your show, Michael, and they may be a little frustrated. They've been doing good work. They've been putting forth the effort necessary to be successful, but they haven't met with success. I teach about a three-stage cycle or a process for goal realization, and it starts the goal, the process, the manifestation. The goal, the process, the manifestation. So you start off with a goal. That goal is going to require a time over a process. But when that process is complete, you get to the manifestation season or harvest time. In our case, the due season. I believe that somebody right now needs to know that they've already set the goal, and the process is just completed. It's the manifestation time. It's due season for your dreams. It's due season for you to go out and start that business. It's due season for you to have a successful relationship. It's due season for you to experience the finer things in life. It's due season for you to walk forward as a champion and not as a champion. It's your time. This is your time. Anybody who can hear my voice right now, it's your time. When you replay this podcast, it's your time. When you send this link to your friends, this is a dynamic show. You need to definitely, you know, let people know about anything but ordinary radio. Send this podcast out. It's your time. It's your time. It is your time right now. Your goals are ready to manifest now, but you have to keep the faith. Expectation is the thing that you have to keep. No matter what the situation looks like, no matter what's going on, no matter what people say, no matter what who leaves, no matter who stays, no matter what happens, you have to continue to expect that, guess what, any day now, that very thing that you believe in the beginning can manifest. Any day now. Any day now. You have to keep your expectation of any day now that relationship can flourish. Any day now that new car can come out. Any day you can become the CEO of a dynamic company. Any day now. Because you've already sowed the seed of your goal, and the process has already used the amount of time it needed. It's just like this: if you plant a bamboo seed this year you won't see any growth come through the ground. In year two, you won't see anything necessarily come up through the ground. And year three, you won't necessarily see anything come up through the ground. Year four, likewise. But year five, That very thing that you planted in the ground 5 years ago will shoot up to 90 feet in the air. Because year five is its due season. It's when the harvest is expected to come to pass. Don't give up on the things you've already put in the ground. Don't give up on the seeds you've already sown. Continue to expect your harvest. Continue to expect something dynamic to happen. And guess what? Any day now, your dreams can manifest.
You know, Miles, I think that's a great concept to share, because so many of us, you know, work so hard at something we're trying to create. You know, you go and you don't see results right away. You know, there's you see so many times on TV, a reality show or whatever, you know, people who become this overnight instant sensation. But, you know, most people know or maybe even don't know that most successes, financial successes and things like that take time. They don't just happen overnight. You know, there are the few exceptions where those overnight people happen. But in general, it takes time. It takes commitment. It takes a lot of time to get there. You know, I know creating my movie took almost 5 years of my life, you know, of continuing to pursue it and go forward even when it looked difficult and I shouldn't even be pursuing it. So, you know, thank you for sharing that message. One of the questions that came up on the chat board for you was, do you have a system that people can use?
Yes, I sure do. I actually have a book. I have a book called My Success Journal. And in my success journal, I actually outline what I call the Miller Success Equation. And it reads, the quantity of work to overcome adversity raises the level of your exponential power of your faith will create success. Where work is coming up with the goal, creating the plan, and executing that plan, because that's what's going to be necessary to overcome any adversity that's you're going to face. But the most important part of it is the exponential factor of your faith. You have to continue to believe. So that's what I live by, the Miller Success Equation. Work, the quantity of work to overcome adversity raises the power of your faith. And let me tell you, it works time in and time out. It works time in and time out. You can do great things, but it's going to require your faith. And that's the system I would share with anybody.
We have just a couple of minutes left. Where can people find out more about you? And also, after you do that, just really quickly, what's next for, before we go into where they can find out about you, I really want to, what's next for Miles Miller? In 30 seconds or less, what's next for Miles Miller?
Well, tonight we got the fourth quarter comeback show coming on here on Blog Talk Radio at midnight. That's the next movement for me. I'm actually back into my fourth quarter comeback mode. I was on a show about a month ago, and a friend of mine, Angel Bush, she coined me the fourth quarter comeback king. So we're getting back to firing people up that no matter what the time says on the clock, no matter what has been happening the first three quarters of the game, the fourth quarter is here. There's still time left on the clock. You can still be who it is you've been called to be. You can still realize your goal. So we're coming at that massively. I'm actually going to be out in L.A. Next month for a two-day conference. Like I said, we're just coming at people to let people know that, hey, you can be who it is you've been called to be. Don't ever give up. Don't ever quit in your dreams.
Miles, where can people find out more about you and everything that you do?
Well, I'm easy to follow. You can find me on Facebook or MySpace, Twitter, all at Miles W. Miller, Facebook.com/MilesWMiller, MilesWMiller, MySpace, .com/MilesWMiller, Twitter.com/MilesWMiller, and BlogTalkRadio.com/MilesWMiller, and you can find out oodles about me. And I'm looking forward to firing you up.
Well, thank you, Miles. I really appreciate you being my guest today and for motivating everyone. Is there one quick last note of encouragement or message that in the next 20 seconds you'd like to share with everybody?
It's my motto and my mantra, Don't ever give up. Don't ever quit in your dreams. Whatever it is you want to do, whatever it is you want to be, don't give up. You've already planted the seed. Everything's already in motion. Just continue to expect your due season. This is your due season. Any day now it can manifest. Just like a pregnant woman. Any day now when she gets to that ninth month, any day that baby can come forth. Any day. You're at the ninth month now. Any day your dream can manifest.
Thank you, Miles. I really appreciate you being on with us.
Oh, absolute honor, sir. I'm absolutely honored.
That was Miles Miller. And, again, find out all about him on Facebook, Google his name, Miles, MilesMiller, Miles Miller. You can find him on Twitter, MySpace, Facebook. A great guy, and I'm looking forward to seeing more from him in the future. We're just about to the end of our show. I'm really excited to announce our guests for next week. We have an amazing lineup for next week's show. We have millionaire and multi-level marketing expert Raven K. Starr will be on with us. She has not only given you advice on finances, but also her story is absolutely amazing. We'll have independent band, the independent band A.G. Silver, who you heard before and I gave a little plug for. The members of the band will be on with us next week. I'm so excited to share their story. And then in our last segment, we'll have entrepreneur and motivational speaker J.L. Godfrey. He'll be sharing a motivational message with us and also a little bit about his story in that third segment. So thank you all for joining us today on Anything But Ordinary Radio. Remember, you can find out more about me at www.anythingbutordinary.net, and you can check out our archives on iTunes and everywhere else all over the place. So thank you again. We look forward to hearing and seeing all of you next week on Anything But Ordinary Radio.